Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. Sixth book in your Bible. Got an old Schofield. It's page 288 in the old Schofield. Amen. Judges, chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1. The Bible says, "An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you.' And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Tithnarm Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God and their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whethersoever they went out, the hand of God, the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. And they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For he repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." As you look at this tonight and we see how this thing plays out, and the Bible tells us here the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal of Bochim. Now, here we have God Almighty identifying Himself. I'm wondering in the churches today, in the hour that we live, if sometimes God don't have to intervene in our circus, in our ceremony, just step up and just kind of reintroduce Himself to us. I think we get so far away from Him sometimes, and we get into a ritual of trying to be religious that we forget who God is. I think that's what happens here to the nation of Israel. Several times we notice lots of, just time after time, they forget who God is. Now God brought them up out of Egypt. He said, I brought you up out. He didn't only bring them up, but He also brought them out. He brought them out of that awful place, that type of the world, that type of wickedness, that type of sin. Said He brought him up, brought them out, that He might bring them into the land. That land of milk and honey, that land that was promised to them, that He had made an oath in Him, He had made a covenant with them. Now He said, you can have the land. But He said, all you've got to do is just do what I say. Amen. I want to say, we can have all the blessings God's got for us, and all we've got to do is do what He says. Just line up with Him. Amen. And He'll line up with us and He'll help us. But why is it that we want to stray away from Him and we want to go our own way? When God is the way. He knows exactly where we need to be. He knows the easiest way to get us to where we need to be. And He's there to help us in it if we'll let Him. But He introduces Himself here. He said, hey, it's me. Did you forget me? He said, I made a covenant with you over there. You remember? Back over there when you promised that you'd follow me, you'd do the things, amen, that I asked you to do. That you'd keep my covenant, my commandments, that you'd keep them and that you'd do them. When I brought you up out of the land, then I brought you into the land, under the land, which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. He said, listen, I'm the God that made you a promise. I promise you I'd never break my covenant. I said, I'd give you a land, I'd be there with you, I'd deliver you, praise God. I'd give you everything you needed to be successful, to have prosperity, praise God, if you'd just follow me. And He said you would do it. Amen. He said, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. That was part of the agreement. Amen. Amen. We don't want to admit that today. We'll hear that and we'll say, well, preacher, you know, it's the time that it was, you know, them strangers in the land and they had this and they had that. Just like today. There's no difference. That's what's wrong with the church today. There's no separation. You can't tell the difference between us and the world. Amen? We can't because there's no separation. God make a covenant with us. He make agreement with us. Praise God. We just go out and do what we want to. But God ain't in that. And He questions them here. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. And you shall throw down their altar. He said, you got to utterly destroy the wickedness that you come across. You can't hang out with it. It won't work. But He said, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now this is God Almighty. I hate it when I'd hate to be the one that He said, like, listen, what? I told you and you ain't listened to me. Have you ever been there? I've been there. God spoke to my heart and I said, well, maybe after a while, right? Or, you know, praise God. And there's a payday for that. Amen. But I want to preach a little while tonight on this if God will help my heart. Oh, why have you done this? Amen. The thought, why have you done this? God asked them a question. He said, hey, listen, it's God. You remember? He drove and said, hey, it's me. You remember me? I'm the one brought you out of Egypt. I brought you into the land of promise. Praise God. I made a covenant with you to give it to you. And there it is. He said, but you haven't kept your part. Amen. Said, you've let down on your part. He said, you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Why do we do it? Why do we not do what God says do? It's easier. You say, well, preacher, it's easier to follow the flesh. No, it ain't. The flesh will lead you awry. He'll take you in the wrong direction. But if we follow God and godliness in the likeness of Him, praise God, He'll lead us into better places. Amen. He'll lead us into places of hope and joy and peace and prosperity and harmony and blessings, praise God, that's out of this world. Amen. But He tells them over here, He said, He lays it out for them what the promise that He's made. Look back over in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and He's teaching the nation of Israel about the new covenant that He had made with Moses. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 1, and said, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. Amen? That's pretty simple. And then he lays, and this is where he begins to lay out to Moses those commandments that he gives us. You know those things we have up here on the board? Those 10 commandments? Amen? And he said, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us. Even us who are all of us here alive this day. Amen? He said, we're here today. I want to say praise God to God. God made covenant with us. Amen? He said, if you'd accept my son and his death, his burial, his resurrection, the blood he shed on Calvary, I'll make a covenant with you in the New Testament, praise God, to be your God and to be your Lord. Amen. He said, the Lord talked with you face to face in a mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount saying. I think sometimes, let me just stop right here. I think sometimes that people in the church are afraid of the fire. I think we're still afraid of the fire. We're afraid of the power of God to come upon us, and we're afraid to let it have its right away because we're afraid it'll burn that dross out of us. Amen? Amen? I'm afraid we got dross in us, some bad stuff, amen? God's trying to purify us as gold, but there's dross in us that He needs to burn out to get out, but we're afraid of the fire. Amen? Holy Spirit of God gets to work in our hearts dealing with us, and instead of running into the fire and get purified, praise God, we run away. It's time that the church, praise God, got in the fire again. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen. He said, what part of what I did for you don't you like? Amen. You was in bitter bondage for over 400 years. You cried and you wept and you wailed. I heard you and I sent my Savior to come get you. Type of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I sent Moses down there to lift you up and to bring you out. Amen. And it said, I promised it and I did it. So what part of that didn't you like? Amen. It's what we have to ask ourselves today. What part of the Lord delivering us, amen, from our own sinfulness don't we like? I thank God that He delivered me. Brother Billy, I ain't gonna tell where me and you would be if it wasn't for God. Amen. We'd be some old drunk or some drug addict like you were out here laying on the side of the road or side of some street somewhere with our mind fried, praise God, not even knowing how to know God. Amen. But God, He come to where we was, praise God, when we couldn't get to Him, He loved us up and told us, praise God, there was a better way. I'm glad, praise the Lord, He come to me on that Wednesday night, said, son, you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to follow the ways of the world. Praise God, you can receive me, accept me, and I can set you free. I tell you what, I don't ever know that I've ever been any freer, amen, in the Lord. Amen. He set me free. He's made possible, praise God. He brought me up out of Egypt. I don't long for that stuff no more. Amen. Ain't so much wickedness in this world. It's pitiful. You cut the TV on and it won't take you about 30 seconds till that old wicked thing will bring something to prayer. You don't even need to see. And they've got any more. You can't even plan to watch around that stuff because their commercials just as wicked as the programs. Amen. We never took the kids to the movie theater because they'd show these other films and you didn't know what they'd be. You could go watch a G movie, but when they showed the preludes to these other ones, they might be X-rated. But I will say television today is just about the same. Amen. They'll put a good detective show on, and about the third episode, you'll turn it on, and the first thing they do, you'll see two women in bed together. Amen? Wickedness. They put it out there. They're trying to get us accustomed to the dark. Amen? If we ain't careful, we fall for it. But God says, you got to stay with me. Stay with me. I'll stay with the stuff, and I'll help you. I'll deliver you from that. Amen? He said, I'll bring you up out of Egypt, out of the world. Make you a separate people. That's what God was trying to get Israel to be. He was trying to get them to be a separate people, separated unto Himself. So that He could brag on Him, He could show the world, praise God, that they was a God. I wonder today, are we showing the world that there's a God in the way that we live, the way that we act? He said, I am thy Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Amen. I wonder how many gods the world, people of the world's got before them today. We got gods all over. We got gods of football, gods of basketball, gods of race car driving, and gods of recreation, and gods of fishing, and gods of this, and gods of that. And we'll put every bit of that stuff before the God of glory. Amen. People say, "Well, preacher, they oughtn't have followed after them other gods." Why, we do. Amen. We're living day and age. You can take a basketball, football, or a baseball, pitch it off in the hell. Mama grab Junior by the hand and drag him off in after it. Amen. And then they get in trouble in high school and they're having problems, they're struggling, and they can't figure what in the world's wrong with Junior. Amen. They're doing things because he don't know no better. He don't have no hope. Why is these youngins killing themselves? Amen. Teen suicide's the highest it's ever been. Why? Because we've turned our back on God. We forgot that God's made a covenant with you and I that He'd take care of us, take care of our families, take care of our children if we'll just stay with Him. Follow Him, praise God. He said that makes the difference. It puts us in a place where God's hand of protection, He promised to take care of us if we'll follow Him. Amen. I don't know about you. I think I'm just going to stay with God. Amen. Glory. It's better that way. It's a better place to be. He said, "They don't have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them." See what I'm saying? Don't bow to them. Don't serve them. We're serving everything but God. You say, "Well, preacher, I serve the Lord all the time. I get up on Sunday morning, I try to come to church. And on Sunday night, I try to make it back. Wednesday night, I try to be..." That's not serving the Lord. That's coming to worship. That's coming to fields to get the groceries we need for our spiritual body to keep us on the track, to keep us fueled up and fired up for God. We serve Him out there. Amen. We make a difference out there. I appreciate when people is communicating with the people they work with. Amen. And those people are coming to them and asking them to please pray for this and pray for that. You know why that is? Because you're making a difference. People seeing God in your life, amen, and what they're doing is saying, "You know what? There's some hope out there, and through you or through somebody else, they're reaching out to get a hold of hope." Amen. Why? Because somebody's decided to just go with God. I love that song, Brother Jacob. "I think I'll just go with God." Amen. Amen. I praise God. That's the only way to go. Praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. He said, "Or that is an earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth." Verse 9, He said, Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them or serve them. For I, the Lord," watch this, "thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." God said, "If you don't love me and follow me and listen to me, follow my command," He said, "didn't you hate me?" You realize tonight, if we don't do what God says, God, in God's mind, it's hate. They all the time hollering on the news media about these hate crimes. All the time hollering about hate crimes. How this and hates that and hates the other. But God says, "If you don't listen to me, you don't follow me, you don't do what I say, then you hate me." Amen. We've got a love-hate relationship with our God. We either love Him and praise Him for what He did for us, what He's doing for us, or we hate Him and despise Him and reject Him. That's the only two options we have. Amen. We won't try to straddle the fence and just ride down the road. But I want to say, praise God, you get straddling that fence, it's a rough ride. Even them old split rail fence place, God's full of splinters. Amen. And I ain't even going to tell you about a barbed wire fence. Amen. You get that good red barb stuff, praise God, we used to have back when I was a youngin'. Brother Kevin, you get hung up on that, praise God, you'll be there a spell. You won't pull loose from it. But praise God, if you just decide to get on the side of the fence that God's on and go with Him, glory be to God. He said, "What's going on with you?" Praise God, Lord said, "I'm going on with you." Amen. Praise the Lord. Whenever he asks the question, "What's going on?" Say, "Praise God, it's just me." Amen. And he said, and showing mercy to unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. He said, I show mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. Amen. But now he said, what's happened to you? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Go over just a few chapters. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29. Now let's just go back to 28. He said, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. See, God makes a covenant with you and I, He makes it forever. Amen. He said, I'm going to love you and bless you, that love and bless those that love and love and seek me. Praise God forever. And he said, I'll bring their children on. He said, I'll make a difference in your life. I'll make a difference in your home. I'll make a difference in the community that you live. Amen. You ever noticed a lot of times we live in communities and our children will grow up and a lot of times they'll build or buy pretty close to us. Amen. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they move off on their own and just forget you ever existed. But most of the time they hang out pretty close. Sometimes want to move a little further. But praise God, that's that community. Amen. That's what God wants. He wants us to be a tight-knit community in the Lord. And verse 29. He said, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, where thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land. He said, I'm going to cut those nations off. He said, I'm going to send you into the country. I'm going to send you, and say, I'm going to cut those nations off. It's up there, praise God. Amen. You just go in there and just enjoy the benefits of what I've got for you. He said, and dwellest in their land. He said, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. See, he gives us a warning here. He gives them a warning before they ever go in the land. He said, pay attention. Don't let them be a snare to you. He said, after that, they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did this nation serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. In the world we live in today, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, in the world we live in today, we're trying to figure out the best that we can how the Muslims serve their God. We're trying to figure out how those over there, how they serve Buddha and these other gods. Amen? We don't need to know how they serve their God because their God is no God. We need to figure out how our God wants us to serve Him. If we had spent as much time in America trying to figure out how to serve our God, the God that this nation was founded upon, pray God, we wouldn't have time to worry about these other gods. It's time that we stood up and proclaimed the true God. And I hate to say it, but I praise God. I'm glad we've heard more about the true God of America in the last year than we've heard in decades. Amen. God been mentioned, praise God. I mean, God and the Lord Jesus Christ has been mentioned, amen, from platforms all across America. Praise the Lord. It thrills my heart to hear that. Amen. Praise God. He said, but don't be following after them. Don't be worrying about them. Don't be trying to figure them out. He said, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination of the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fires of their gods. Amen. They've offered them. They've offered their children to Molech, to the fire god. That's why I hate cremation so bad, amen? We're not supposed to burn our people up. We're supposed to bury them, amen? When you bury them, you get closure. When you don't bury them, there's no closure. Why is that? Why is it? It's because it's not the way God meant for it to be. When we take our loved ones, we wrap them up and we bury them. Hey, you say, well, I can't afford all that. Well, let me just tell you, North Carolina is a natural state. If you want to, you can dig a hole. Praise God. Call it a cemetery somewhere on your property. Clear it out. Praise God. Put you a little fence around it and bury them in your backyard. Amen. Wrap them up in a shroud. They got burial shrouds now. That's biodegradable. I mean, you won't even have to worry about bothering Mother Earth. Because they'll just go back to the earth. Amen. You believe all that garbage. But amen, it's a decent way to do it. He said, you've even come to the point of burning your children, offering them to a fake God. Amen. You say, my goodness, how can anybody be so? I mean, they had a thing made up and his mouth was open. There's a fire in his belly. And there was a platform. They'd take him out and put him on the platform in the mouth of Moloch. And they'd raise that thing up like a sliding board. And their little children slip right off, literally into hell. Into the belly of the fire. You say, how in the world could they do that? I don't know, but the same way we do it today when we just don't care. Amen? We just don't care about our children, don't care about our youth, amen? And they're slipping off into hell. He said, how could you do this? Amen? When we forget God. He said, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it, and thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Amen. God says, don't add nothing to it. And he said, but the Holy Spirit of God, he knows how we would think. But he said, don't add anything to the Word of God. But he said, don't take no shortcuts either. Amen. He said, there's a way God has planned for this thing to work out. He said, so just follow God's plan. Amen. It's satisfactory. He'll get the job done. I've called God's made us a blessed hope. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33, right before they go into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 and 27. The Bible says, the eternal God is thy refuge. Praise God. Brother Billy, that's all I need to know. If the eternal God, I believe that with all my heart. He's my place of safety. He's my place of cover. He's my place of comfort. He's my place of hope and joy and peace and happiness. He is my eternal refuge. That's what a refuge is, praise God. That's why we take these little animals and we take them to a natural refuge. That's why they use that word refuge. It's a place where they turn them loose so that they can be happy and live and enjoy their life. He said, God, when we come to God, He is our refuge. He said, glory to God, He's our happy place. Amen. People want to be happy in this world. There's only one way to be happy, and that happiness comes in the Lord. It's a good package. Amen. Glory to God. When you get the Word and you receive it, praise God, you get the whole package deal. Amen. You know that with all the benefits that goes with it. Praise the Lord. Eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen? So He's holding it. He's got it. He's got it covered. He's there for you. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Amen? So what God said? God said, destroy the enemy. Destroy them. Get rid of them. But we don't. We've got things in our life that's our enemy. Amen? People have things in our life that are our enemy. Whether it be drugs or alcohol or pornography or perversion, whatever it might be, that's their enemy. And God says, if you're going to serve me and follow me and I'm going to be your God, you've got to destroy that mess. You've got to get rid of it. Paul said to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Amen? Put them to death. Now, let me say this. When we start killing off things that our flesh likes, amen, sometimes it puts us through anguish. Sometimes it puts us through heartache and sorrow because we do it because we like doing it. Amen. But he said you got to get rid of it. You got to kill the enemy. Amen. In other words, you got to destroy it. You got to do away with it in order to have peace with God. But he told him when you go in, he said, destroy them. He didn't say go in there and push them out. Go in there and say, hey, you know, you go over here and live and I'll live over here. No, he said, you go in there and destroy them. They're ungodly nations. You can't mix with them. We've got this idea, this mentality in America. And they say, well, you know, we just got to love everybody. Amen. I do love everybody. But I hate sin. I hate sin. I hate sin with a passion. Because it's destroying homes and lives and families. I see it every day. Amen. And people will hang on to their little sins for dear life, like a safety blanket. Amen. He said, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. God says, I'm going to make it almost kind of like it was in the beginning. Amen. He said, if you'll just follow me and adhere to me and listen to me, follow my commandments and keep them. He said, I'll make it like it was in the beginning before sin came. He said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellence. Did you notice that exclamation mark there? The shield of your excellence, the one that's able to make you excellent in the eyes of God. Who's that shield that's able to protect you and make you the excellency of God? God Almighty is the only one. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He says, listen, said, you're getting ready to go into the land. He said, you've got to go into the land and you've got to utterly destroy the wickedness thereof. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Go in, destroy it. Go ahead and get done with, get through it. Praise God. And said, I'm going to bless you on purpose. Amen. And he tells us in Judges, the Lord says, you haven't obeyed my voice. He said, why have you done this? God says, why have you disobeyed me? We see the disobedience all in chapter 1 as the people begin to come into the land and they begin to take the land. But it says just time after time, and for chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord said unto Judah, drive out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants. They didn't. He says in verse 21, and children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. He goes on down and he says in 25, and he showed them the entrance into the city. These two people said, you'll show me into the entrance city. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they smote the city at the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. God says, you utterly destroy the wickedness of the world. You say, well, preacher, why'd God want to kill all of them? This is a type of sin. God says, every time you encounter sin, you've got to utterly put it down. You've got to utterly destroy it. Amen. You can't hang on to a little sin here and a little sin there. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, when you go in, you've got to utterly destroy it and get rid of it. That'd be like a... Let me just give you an example. It'd be like an alcoholic. He'd been an alcoholic all his life. Finally, after 25 or 30 years, he decides, the Lord touched his heart. He decides to get rid of that mess, realize he needs some help. He prays, asks God to help him, amen, to get rid of it. Amen. So God helps him. He brings him out of that. He goes to a program. He gets help and he gets seven. But he gets him a liquor bottle and he puts it in the top of his cabinet. A person done this. He took a bottle of liquor and put it in his cabinet. And he said, I said, why do you do that? He said, just to remind me of what I used to be. I said, no, that's just something, that's a temptation. Why do you want to put temptation in your cupboard? Amen. Get rid of it. If you're going to get rid of it, get rid of it. Amen. But he put it in there. It's the craziest thing I've heard in my life. Amen. It's almost like it was a god and he had put it up on a shelf as a shrine. But God said here, he said, you know what? He said, go in and drive them out. Get rid of them. Amen. Verse 27 said, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and in her towns, nor Tignah and her towns, nor inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor inhabitants of IBM and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Amen. So what they did, they encamped all around the wickedness of the world. And God told them not to. So it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. Now see what they thought they could do. Said, well, you know what? It's kind of like that bottle of liquor and I'm going to use it as a leverage. Amen? We're strong enough now, so the Canaanites is going to pay us tribute. They're going to give us money to stay in the land. They thought they was doing a good thing. Amen? Said, neither did Ephraim, verse 29, drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Never God's intention for us to dwell among sin. Hello? In other words, if you're a child of God, you don't need to go down there to the crack house and hang out. I don't care how much you say, well, I'm going to go down there and win them to the Lord. No, you won't. You'll get caught up in a mess. People that know you and know your profession see you down there, and as they pray, I've seen him down there. He's crackhead too. Amen? You won't do nothing for God going to these places. So neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. They paid them. Amen. You know what the devil do? You know what sin will do? Sin will offer you a little something. That's why we hang on to it, because it offers us a little something. The Lord says, why have you done this? He said, I've commanded you. He goes on down in verse 33, said, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shem, nor the inhabitants of Beth Ayon, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. And nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shem and Beth Ayon became tributaries unto them. Man, gave him a little something. The Ammonites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. Amen. The children of Dan said, hey, you know, you just stay here with us. We'll live comfortably together. We'll live in sin together. But you know what? Sin pushed them up in the mountains. Wouldn't even let them live in the plains. Amen. You can't live around, you can't live with sin. We got to separate ourselves. Amen. So what God asked them here, he comes to them and he says, hey, folks, it's me. I've got a question. I gave you commandments. I gave you instructions. Why haven't you done them? He said, you got to get rid of the sin. Amen. He said, you have not obeyed my voice. He said, why have you done this? He said, why have you not obeyed my voice? He said, they followed out. You know what happens? The Bible says Joshua dies and they bury him. And those that were alive, the elders that outlived Joshua, they died too. You know, the ones that seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And he said that Joshua, son of Nun, a servant of the Lord, died being 110 years. Now that was an ideal age to die. In biblical times, 110 was an ideal. That's what everybody was shooting for, was 110 years old. Moses made it to 130. Joshua died at 110 years old. He said, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance. And then he says in verse 10, and said, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. All those elders died. And there arose another generation after them. But now watch this. Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now how could another generation come along and not know nothing about the Lord or what the Lord had done? Because the people that were telling it died. And nobody carried on the message. Nobody continued to bring the message. God says, you know what? Said you've done, the sin has come in, and the sin has overshadowed the message. Amen. If we ain't very careful, we get caught up in church. I've heard people here lately preach, and all they preach about is what they've seen on the news. Amen. It's supposed to be giving you a little encouragement for the ride home, and they're talking about the things that's happening on the news. Now, I like the things happening on the news when it deals with Israel and the signs of the end and the prophecies being fulfilled. But when it comes time to look at the Word of God, I want the Word of God to speak to my heart, to give me that'll encourage me. That's what was needed here. But they said, you know what? We haven't the Word of God no more. We haven't. He said, you've turned your back on me. He said, why have you done this? Why have you gone against me and allowed sin to come in? And he said, it's dwelling among you. He said, God looked at it. He said, it's everywhere. And he said, now the generations come and they're gone and said, there's no God no more. Can you see what's happening in the world today? The exact same thing. There's no God no more because we've accepted sin. We've become used to the dark. Amen? We've allowed this sin to come in, begin to let it take it, have its way. He said, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. You know, I got to think about that. You know, Baal, he was at that name literally means possessor or owner. They owned, Baal owned them. Amen. And he was the god of fertility. And Ashtaroth, she was the, they called, Jeremiah called in 33, calls her the queen of heaven that they was worshiping. She was also a fertility god. I think what they was doing, they was worshiping Baal and they was worshiping Ashtaroth. They was worshiping heaven and earth through those false gods instead of worshiping the God of heaven and of earth. Amen? They had an opportunity, but they had forsaken God. The Bible said the anger of God was hot against Israel and He delivered them unto spoilers to spoil the things around them. Amen? He said they had opportunities through these judges. God gave them judges to come and rule and bring them out of that mess. And that judge would come, but He said they would not do it. But they did not so. To obey His commandments, just like your fathers. But they said, we're not going to do that. We've decided there's a better way. Amen. We better pay attention tonight, church, because the whole world's telling us that there's a better way. But I want to say there's only one way tonight, and that's God's way. Amen. Through our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. But He said they continued in verse 19 of chapter 2. Said, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves. Now watch this. More than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Amen. So why do we do? God says, God tells us here why we do what we do, because just stubbornness. Amen. Just stubborn. God is the best way, but we can try to continue in our own stubborn way and not God's way. And God's asking us tonight, He says, why have ye done this? In other words, what He's asking us tonight, young, He's saying, why are you being so stubborn? I've told you the good way. I sent the way of life ever after, ever everlasting, praise God. Just accept Him, accept that way. He said, it's the best way. He said, but you're hanging on to those little old things and forgetting about the biggest thing, which is God Almighty and the promise of heaven that He's given us, amen.